The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, music and laughter on Little Old Hollywood with Priscilla Lane and Al Levy, a 1951 newscast from Robert Trout, and music by the Leo Diamond Harmoniers. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, a 1951 newscast with Robert Trout and music by the Leo Diamond Harmoniers. Right now, it's music and laughter on Little Old Hollywood with Priscilla Lane and Al Levy as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Yeah, babe, this is Little Old Hollywood.
Cameras, stars, radio, publicity. Name, dame, fame. Baloney, Tony, phony. Autographs, epitaphs, photographs. Hollywood. Hollywood.
Yeah, Little Old Hollywood. Little Old Hollywood. The National Broadcasting Company presents the 15th edition of this entertainment feature direct from Hollywood's Radio City. Sunset and Vine, the crossroads of the show world. Master of ceremonies of the performance, Ben Alexander. And on the bill tonight, the glamorous young star Priscilla Lane, Hollywood's oldest restaurateur, Al Levy, the Hollywoodman, and such regular features of our show as Go-Go Delete, Robert L. Redd's comedy serial, Two Happy People, and the distinguished music of Gordon Jenkins. It's several days yet before St. Patrick's Day, but nevertheless, it's time now to meet Hollywood's oldest young actor, Ben Alexander.
Hollywood friends, greetings from the town that's always chasing rainbows. As Mr. Bingman just said, it is a few days, six to be exact, until St. Patrick's Day. We thought we'd celebrate a little early this season. To help us celebrate, we have one of Hollywood's prettiest Irish girls with us, the Warner Brothers star, Priscilla Lane. Sure, and you're up to bat, Priscilla. Oh, welcome, Priscilla. Welcome to our show. Erin Gabra and all that sort of good luck.
Well, thank you, Ben. And let me say, I'm glad to be attending your wake tonight.
Always kidding, you Irish girl, aren't you?
Well, I think you could at least call me by my good Irish name, seeing as how we're celebrating for good St. Patrick.
But I introduced you as Miss Lane, Priscilla Lane.
Yes, but you see, Ben, each year as this Irish season rolls round, I take back the name I was born with.
Well, sure, and what might that be?
Mulligan.
Mulligan, huh?
Oh, no, not with a G, with a C. Oh. Mulligan. The true name is Pat Mulligan. You see, the Mulligans and the Mulligans never speak. We live on different sides of the track.
Oh, I get it. Well, I'll never make such a horrible mistake again. Mulligan. Mulligan.
M-U-L-L-I-G-A-N spells Mulligan. Proud of all the Irish blood that's in her. Devil a man can say a word again her. M-U-L-L-I-C-A-N-U-C.
Is a name that a shame never has been connected with.
Mulligan.
That's me.
Mulligan is she.
Oh, now Now, do not confuse me with Scarlett O'Hara, who lived on a southern plantation named Tara. And I'm not an O'Rourke from old County Cork.
She's not an O'Keefe, she isn't a Quinn. She's not an O'Neill, she isn't a Flynn. She's not an O'Reilly or Flanagan. Mulligan, Mulligan.
Well, Priscilla, I mean Pat Mulligan, I think we have it all straightened out now. Of course, I've always heard the tune called Harrigan.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ben, you invited me here as your guest.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know how the Irish are. They like crowds and lots of people.
Well, I know. I've heard that.
So I invited a friend of mine and brought him here to your show as my guest.
Oh, fine. And this is the gentleman. Well, introduce him, please.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet a grand old man, Hollywood's oldest restaurant owner, a member at good standing of the famous Irish Society, the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Al Levy.
Well, just step right up to our mic, Mr. Levy. That's it. Have you some word for us?
Well, I'm certainly glad to be here with the rest of the Irish.
Well, no kidding, Ben. Mr. Levy was born in Dublin.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's not quite right, Pat.
No?
No. I was born in Liverpool, but my mother was born in Ireland, and I received my education in the city of Dublin.
And is that where you got your brogue, Mr. Levy?
Children, it is my pretty colloon.
Well, I bet you kissed the Blarney Stone, judging from the way you talk.
Kissed it? I would have brought it home with me one night if the officers hadn't stopped me.
Well, I say three cheers for the Irish. They're a grand, big-hearted race of people.
Yes, I've always been proud that I was that rare combination, an Irish Jew.
You know, they used to speak of Mr. Levy as A.B.'s Irish Rose of Hollywood.
Yes, Priscilla.
Well, remember what you told me about how old you're going to be in another 2 weeks?
Yes, and I do.
Well, may I ask Pat, how old will Mr. Levy be on his next birthday?
Well, you tell him, Mr. Levy.
Sure, and I'll reach the young old age of 80.
80? Well, we hope you double that. How about it, huh? You bet. 80 years. Good.
But remember what you promised me, Mr. Levy?
Well, I do.
You do remember, don't you, Mr. Levy? You made a promise to Pat.
I only promised to sing for you in a moment of weakness.
Well, remember now, with an Irishman, a promise is his bond. And I think you better make good.
You bet, Miss Levy. How about an Irish song?
Oh!
Well, that's what he's going to sing, Ben.
Good.
Go ahead, Mr. Levy.
That's what he's...
That's what you're going to sing, huh?
Well, at least it's short.
Oh, good.
You won't have to suffer long. It goes like this. In Dublin Bay City, there lived a fair maid named Molly Malone. She wheeled a wheelbarrow through the streets wide and narrow, singing cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
Well, thank you, Mr. Al Levy. Thank you. And thank you, Priscilla, Pat Mulligan Lane, for being with us and bringing a guest. And don't go away, Pat. We want to hear from you later. Here's the Gordon Jenkins aggregation all ready to bust out with some of those smooth, hot arrangements for which they're rapidly growing famous. Today, it's a special of I Got Rhythm, the distinguished music of Gordon Jenkins.
Thank you.
Monday evening brings another episode of Robert Elred's comedy serial, Two Happy People. It stars Fred MacKay as that delightful conveyor of confusion, Harvey Doubleday, and Margaret Brayton as Brooke Stewart, Harvey's love interest. They are supported by Verna Felton. Last week, the police hustled them all off to headquarters on a charge of kidnapping. But soon after, due explanations, they were set free, the baby being returned to its joyous parents. A day or so ago, Harvey met a man who hires lifeguards for California beaches. The man told Harvey to drop down to Upper Santa Monica Beach, and they would discuss the matter of a job. So, accompanied by Brooke and her mother, Harvey decides to make an afternoon's outing out of it. Business and pleasure combined. Now, here they are, just arriving at the beach, and they're looking for a spot to set up their umbrellas and spread out their blankets.
This looks like a nice spot, Harvey.
Yes, let's camp here. And as soon as it's full of sand, I can hardly lift my feet.
Yeah, we're only a little ways from the lifeguard station. I can keep my eyes peeled for Mr. Hugginuggy.
Mr. Who-a-nuggy?
Hugginuggy, Hugginuggy, Hugginuggy.
Oh, stop giving those imitations, Harvey.
Imitations? Say, it does sound kind of like a railroad train, doesn't it? Hugginuggy, Hugginuggy, Hugginuggy. Woo, woo! Hugginuggy, Hugginuggy, woo, woo!
Harvey! Harvey, somebody might hear you.
Yeah, if I think I was in my second boyhood, huh?
Anyway, who is Mr. Hugginuggy?
He's the lifeguard that's going to watch me swim today. If I'm good enough, he might give me a job at this beach for the summer.
Heaven help the swimmers in a riptide.
Oh, but Harvey's a good swimmer, Mother. He said he was.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Harvey, will you spread out our blanket?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here, Harvey. Let me help you spread it down.
Yeah. There now. I'll put up the umbrella for you now, Miss Stewart.
Goodness, I've lost my sunglasses.
Oh, that's too bad, Miss Stewart.
Well, here, Mother, you take mine.
No, you keep them yourself, Brooke.
But the bright sun always makes you squint so, Mother.
Yes, and afterwards, I always get bags under my eyes.
Well, you always have a few bags under your eyes, Miss Stewart.
Harvey, I see.
Well, I mean, if I were you, I wouldn't worry until I started to get bags over my eyes. You know.
Please, Harvey.
Now, look, you two go on and have fun. Don't worry about me.
Well, what are you going to do, Mother?
Well, later I may take my shoes and stockings off and go down and dip my tootsies in the salt water.
Yeah. Well, maybe you just better stay here, Miss Stewart, and keep in the shade of this umbrella.
I'm old enough to take care of myself, son.
Oh, I know you're old enough.
Dear, maybe you better spread the other blanket over there a little ways so we won't disturb Mother if she wants to rest.
Go on, you two. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Gosh, Brooke, if we don't have to hang around your mother all afternoon, maybe we can pitch a little woo, huh?
Maybe.
Well, come on, over this way, Brooke.
Yes. Well, if you want us, Mother, we'll be right over here. You can call.
Oh, go on.
Hey, Brooke, see, over here I found a 12 spot right by a big rock. I'll put the blanket down. How do you like this place?
Oh, this is simply wonderful, Harvey. Oh, it was a wonderful idea of yours. For us to put on our swimming suits in town at the apartment.
Yeah, I'm going to slip off my flaxen sweater now and get some good old sunshine on. Body beautiful.
I guess I'll take off my robe.
Gee.
Gee, what, darling?
Gee, what a beautiful bathing suit. It's all white.
You like it?
You aren't kidding.
I bought it this morning. Do you like a white bathing suit, Harvey?
Sure like the one you got on. Can hardly tell where the bathing suit ends and you begin.
Uh-huh. I like your swimming trunks, Harvey.
Yeah.
They must be new, too, aren't they?
Yeah, I got them this morning over on Hollywood Boulevard. They're genuine Hawaiian.
Harvey, just look out there at the ocean. Isn't it all so romantic?
Yeah, and it's deep, too.
I don't know whether I want you to take a job as a lifeguard, darling. Maybe it's too dangerous. Well, why are you laughing?
I'm just thinking. I sure pulled a fast one on that lifeguard day before yesterday when I met him up in Hollywood.
What did you do?
Well, we were talking, and he asked me the most asinine question.
What did he ask you, Harvey?
Well, he said, can you swim? First, I thought he was kidding.
He asked if you could swim?
What did you tell him?
Oh, I gave him a hot one right back. I said, no, but I could sure wade like the dickens.
Are you really a good swimmer?
Well...
Can you dive?
Yes, I can dive, but I don't always land so good.
Oh, I'd love to see a man dive. Have you ever dived from a real high tower, Harvey?
Once.
Just once, huh?
That was plenty.
How high was the tower?
50 feet.
Oh, it must have taken a lot of nerve to dive from a tower that high.
Nerve, nothing. All it took was a little shove.
Oh, isn't it wonderful here?
Yeah. Fun just lying here talking with you, Brooke.
Listen to the ocean beat on the shore, Harvey. I wonder what the wild waves are saying.
Well, I think they're saying that you're the most wonderful girl in the whole wide world, Brooke.
Oh, am I, darling?
Gee, I sure like to look into your eyes, Brooke.
Can you see the love light burning in them?
Well, I guess it's love light. And your lips.
What about my lips, sweetheart?
They send me.
Oh, really, Harvey?
Yeah, and they bring me back, too.
Only you will ever kiss them, Harvey.
Oh, hot turkey. I sure like to pitch woo. Oh,
gracious, Harvey. I wonder if I'm getting sunburned. Look at my limbs.
You think I don't like to? Boy.
I mean, my arms and legs, they're a fiery red.
Yeah, they are kind of a hot pink. Hey, you better put on your beach robe, Brooke.
Yeah. Oh, what's that? Oh, it sounded like Mother.
Yeah, it is your mother. She's in the ocean.
With all her clothes on.
Help! Help! Oh.
Guys, did you see that? That big wave just bowled her over. George, I'll save her. I'm coming, Miss George.
Dive into the ship, Harvey. Dive.
Yeah, George. She is pretty cold. Oh.
Harvey, where'd you go?
Where is he?
Oh, you idiot. Get up on your feet.
Oh, water. It's cold. It took my breath away.
Took your breath away? It knocked out cold. Whew!
Gosh, that last big wave must have washed us both up on the shore here, huh, Miss Stewart?
Well, you certainly didn't pull me out.
Oh, my gosh.
Get up on your feet. Don't sit there in that pool of water spluttering. Get up.
I don't dare.
What is the matter, darling? Why are you just sitting there? Are you hurt?
No.
Well, then get up, Harvey.
Oh, I can't.
Why can't you?
Oh, holy smokes, I'm in trouble. Don't look now, but it's my new Hawaiian trunks.
Well, what's happened to them?
Well, they just said aloha. Oh.
We turn now to the always entertaining vocal interpretations of our French-Canadian songstress, Gogo DeLisle. From the new Disney picture, Pinocchio, she sings, When You Wish Upon a Star, Gogo DeLisle.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star as dreamers do, fate is kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams long to. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do, fate is kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret love. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. If you believe in dreams, wait till the starlight gleams. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come.
I still insist that you sing better every time I hear you, Gogo. And now I'm going to bring Priscilla Lane back for a little information. Pat, front and center.
Yes, sir. What sort of information, Ben?
Sure, in 6 more days will be St. Patrick's Day.
You're telling an Irishman.
Priscilla, it seems as if the Irish hold a pretty firm grip on Hollywood. Just offhand, Pat, how many stars and players can you think of who are Irish?
Well, of course, there's always Pat O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien? Oh, he wouldn't be Irish with a name like that.
Well, he wouldn't be an Egyptian.
Well, who else in town here, huh?
Well, Jimmy Cagney and Spencer Tracy.
Keep on going, Priscilla.
Oh, well, if you really want me to name a few Irishers in Hollywood pictures, how about Alan Hale, Dennis Morgan, Mickey Rooney, Margaret Sullivan, Gail Patrick, Errol Flynn, Walter Connolly, Robert Cummings, Reginald Denny, William Gargan, Alice Faye, Jimmy Gleason, Tyrone Power. You want some more, Ben?
No, I think that proves the point. But the Irish do well when there's a bit of fancy acting to be performed. Just one more thing, Priscilla. You just finished making a picture out at Warner Brothers, 3 Cheers for the Irish. I suppose it was really loaded with you sons and daughters of Erin, eh?
Well, Thomas Mitchell, Dennis Morgan, and Alan Hale and myself have the leading roles in it. And if you're after straight Irish blood, well, that's not bad for a starter.
I'll say it isn't.
And the director of the picture was Lloyd Bacon, Irish through and through. And the script girl was Miss Florence O'Neill. The head electrician was Michael Casey. But the fellow who handled the publicity...
Well, who was he?
Well, he's a very good friend of mine, Jake Rosenstein.
Oh, thank you again, Priscilla Lane. Okay, Gordon, let's get into that toast to the Irish of Hollywood. Gordon Jenkins and the orchestra, supported by that fine Irish tenor Jimmy O'Brien, the Hollywoodman, and a genuine Carey Piper, Ian Kerr, present a host of songs dear to the heart of every Irishman. Jimmy O'Brien, whose ancestors all hail from County Killarney, Ireland, sings Gail Patrick's favorite Irish song, The Rose of Tralee.
The pale moon was rising above the green mountain. The sun was declining beneath the blue sea. When I strayed with my love to the pure crystal fountain that stands in the beautiful vale of Tralee. She was lovely and fair as the rose of the summer, yet was not her beauty alone that won me.
no, 'twas the truth in her eye ever dawning that made me love Mary, the rose of Charlie.
Fibber McGee and Molly, Marion and Jim Jordan in real life, are Irish to the core. With Fibber at the piano and the old-timer with his concertina to make music, you should see Fair Molly dance an old-time reel her mother taught her. Yes, it's three cheers for the Irish Fibber and Molly. Bag of a Kerry Piper to honor that fine little Irishman, Jimmy Cagney. It's the Irish air, the wearing of the green. O'Brien, assisted by the Hollywoodman, sing the favorite song of our guest of honor tonight, Priscilla Lane. The song, When Irish Eyes Are Smiling.
When Irish eyes are smiling, sure it's like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy, all the world feels bright and gay. But when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your
point out that next week, our show will be heard over most of these stations just 2 hours earlier. So then, until then, this is Ben Alexander saying, keep your sunny side up. Yes, indeed you should. Good night.
This program is heard in Canada through facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You are listening to the Golden Age of Radio in Little Old Hollywood, hosted by Ben Alexander with Priscilla Lane. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues, I'm Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Thank you. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, music by the Leon Diamond Harmonaires. But first, here's a CBS newscast with Robert Trout from June 17, 1951, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Here's Robert Trout in the latest news, in a program presented by the Norwich Pharmacal Company, makers of Pepto-Bismol, Unguentine, Norwich Aspirin, and other dependable drug products.
The Chinese Red Troops have stopped retreating in Korea. They're moving back in stronger numbers inside that Iron Triangle where so many of their offensives began. Whether this is really the buildup for another massive communist attack is a question that's not been answered yet. There's been another battle of the jets. 25 Red MiGs shot it out with 20 American Saber jets. One Red plane down, 6 damaged, no American planes lost or damaged. A single enemy plane flew over Incheon, the port of Seoul, and dropped 4 bombs into the water. As a result, the talk has started again. Speculation that the communists are getting ready to throw a big air punch at the United Nations. But that's another question still in search of an answer. The Reds, though, are afraid we are getting the answers to too many questions. The official communist newspaper in Beiping says there's a serious loss of state secrets in China and warns all Chinese to stop talking loosely or they may stop talking permanently. The big news in Europe is the election in France, where 3 sides are fighting it out with ballots. The communists on the left, the followers of General de Gaulle on the right, and in between the middle of the roaders who've been running things since the war. Though the polls have been closed for several hours, there are no significant returns yet, but the French voters have already exercised their democratic privilege of embarrassing the prophets by turning out at the polls in great numbers, despite the predictions that the vote would be light after a campaign in which practically nobody seemed to be paying attention. It was only 5 minutes after the polls closed that French President Auriol announced he has softened the life sentence of Marshal Pétain, the old soldier of World War I who decided the Germans were going to win World War II. The 95-year-old Marshal will be allowed to end his days in a hospital if it turns out he's strong enough to be removed from his prison. There's another different kind of echo of World War II from Poland, where it's reported today a 32-year-old German soldier has just been rescued from an old underground supply dump where he was accidentally buried alive 6 years ago. When he was first sealed in, the Germans had not yet lost the war. Now this Hitler veteran can join the rest of us in wondering how you tell who won it. Today, West Berlin is getting ready to clamp a new counter-blockade against Soviet East Berlin. And in the western sector of Germany, a couple of hundred German police in Bonn slugged it out with 2,500 young communists who said they were protesting against Western Germany's becoming militaristic, forced to do so by the Allies.
Here's good news for all those who suffer the distress of upset stomach. It's been proved in actual hospital tests that gentle, dependable Pepto-Bismol gives deep, thorough medication no soda or alkalizer can hope to equal. For Pepto-Bismol works where soda and alkalizers fail, guards against trouble, not in the stomach alone, but along the many feet of intestines below the stomach where food can ferment and cause discomfort every inch of the way. Pepto-Bismol guards against biting, burning acids, lines irritated stomach and intestinal walls with a soothing coating. And this deep, thorough medication helps settle and sweeten, calm and quiet the upset, helps give prompt, long-lasting relief. So for mother, dad, and the children, keep a bottle of Pepto-Bismol handy. And when stomach's upset, don't add to the upset. Take hospital-tested Pepto-Bismol and feel good again.
Here at home, senators investigating General MacArthur's dismissal say the committee will decide that the manner of the firing was deplorable but won't agree on anything else. Federal Narcotics Commissioner Anslinger says his bureau can wipe out the illegal trade in narcotics if Congress will make it somewhat more dangerous to peddle dope than to drive through a red light. There's a rumor that the 2-day-old maritime workers' strike may soon end in a compromise. And Dartmouth College has just honored a student who slept through 4 years of classes, a seeing-eye dog who went to college with her master. She got a certificate and became Dartmouth's first female graduate. And that's the news.
Robert Trout was brought to you by the Norwich Pharmacal Company, makers of Pepto-Bismol, Unguentine, Norwich Aspirin, and other dependable drug products.
Hello there. Come on along to Hogan's Alley and meet Leo Diamond and his gang. Here's Leo, and Abe, and Dick. Here comes Gil, and then Pete. Now put the instruments all together, shake well, and out comes Nobody's Sweetheart.
Thank you.
Officer will flourish to you, me boy.
Okay, officer. Say, why the happy grin over your kisser?
Sure, it's because I'm invited to Mark Kelly's clam bake tonight.
Well, what do you know, Joe? We're going there tonight, too. And strictly by invitation.
Well, say, boys, that's great. Give us a sample of what you're going to play, will you?
Well, how about a rumba?
Oh, fine. Say, you go right ahead while I wiggle me hips, huh? Very nice tune. But I still favor the old Irish ballad. You know, with John McCormick singing him, what a tenor voice he had. John McCormick.
Stop.
Bring it up. Oh, I forgot. Of course, you lads are all crazy about Frank Sinatra, ain't you?
You bet we are. Hey, we haven't got an Irish ballad on tap, but we've got the story with the fringe on top.
What the dickens are you talking about, Murphy with the fringe on top? Gil, me boy, explain it to me, will you?
When I take you out in the Surrey, when I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top. Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when I drive them high-stepping strutters. Nosy folks will peek through the shutters and their eyes will pop. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery's brown, the dashboard's genuine leather. With eyes and glass curtains, you can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking, ain't no finer rig I'm a-thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap for that shiny little Surrey with the fringe on the top. The upholstery's brown, the dashboard's genuine leather. With eyes and glass curtains, you can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking, ain't no finer rig I'm a-thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap for that shiny little Surrey with the fringe on the top.
Well,
Well, say, that was beautiful, lad, beautiful. And you know, Gil, you have a very fine voice.
Thank you, sir.
I'll have to talk to the alderman about you. I think he could get you a correspondence course in singing. That is just exactly what he'll do for you. And hey, boys, I don't mind saying I think you'll be a great success at Mark Kelly's Clam Bake tonight.
Thanks, O'Flaherty.
Say, Leo.
Yeah?
Look, there's a couple of notes jammed me up in the Brazil arrangement. Let's check it over once for my benefit, huh?
Okay.
Well, yeah, Leo, and I've got a new kind of beat, too. Listen.
Hey, that's pretty good. What do you call it?
It's called a samba. Come on, Pete, join me.
Right with you, pal.
Hey, hold it. I got an idea. Just a minute. Let's use that type of rhythm and put it in this arrangement of Brazil. Okay? Ready? One, two.
What did you say the name of that tune was?
Brazil.
Ah, yes. I have a nephew in the Merchant Marine. He was down there. Says a very beautiful place.
Really?
Like Brooklyn without Prospect Park, but very beautiful.
Oh.
Well, boys, I've got to get back to headquarters, but before I go, serenade me with something sweet and lovely, will you?
Well, would you like to hear the theme song of Hogan's Alley?
Sure.
Lay that pistol down.
No, 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 lad. Not that. Anything but that. I'll beat you over the head with the shillelagh. You do that again.
What's the matter? Can't you take it?
Why, you little squirt. An Irishman can take anything.
Okay, then.
Until one night I didn't think right, and now I'm on the run.
lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. Pistol packing, mama. Lay that pistol down.
Time's up. You'll have to break it up. So long, kids.
So long. So long.
I'll see you next week, and mine now. Behave yourselves. Goodbye until next week, when we'll pay another visit to Hogan's Alley. You've been listening to Leo Diamond and his Harmonaires. They will be heard next Saturday at the same time over most of these stations. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
There, Mr. Shyamalan?
Yes.
Twilight falls, evening shadows find.
Tell us, Tommy.
There neath the stars, a maiden so fair divine. The moon on high seemed to see her there. In her eyes was a light shining ever so bright as she whispered a silent prayer. Every word revealed an empty broken heart, broken by fate that holds them so far apart. Lonely there she kneels and tells the stars above. In her arms he belongs, then her prayer is a song, her unending song of love.
Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys, featuring vocalist Tommy Duncan with The Maiden's Prayer from 1941. We also heard the Leo Diamond Harmonaires and a CBS newscast with Robert Trout from June 17, 1951. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.